And those who worry themselves sick over every detail of their lives do little, and what little they do badly. The noisiest bee produces no honey. We need to nourish our spirit diligently and carefully, but this is very different from anxiety and debilitating worry. Care and solicitude don't undermine tranquility and peace of mind, but anxiety and spiritual nitpicking, to say nothing of upset and frenzy, most certainly do. Be conscious in all you are called upon to do, but do not let hurry, upset, anxiety, and nervousness get in the way of common sense and good judgment and prevent you from doing well what God calls you to do. Our Lord rebuked Martha for calling her back to the one necessary thing. Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. We may need to hear that same rebuke. St. Francis of de Sales, pray for us. Well, that is that begins, and thank you all for being here in such great numbers, that begins our sessions this year. And I draw my inspiration this year from a series called The Devout Life, A Snapshot. And I draw my inspiration from St. Francis de Sales' book, Introduction to the Devout Life. For those of you who went to visitation, I know that was the Salesian spirituality was an integral part, and probably today to this day as well, and many others as well, of your spiritual life. It was authored this book by a saint. He's the patron saint of writers and a doctor of the church, and he lived between 1567 and 1622. This year's focus of my first Thursday meditations will be on spirituality. It's moving into new waters. Normally, my talks have been on the Bible or doctrine that all filter in for sure, but the focus is on spirituality, so it's a little different focus. This book is both practical and spiritual, and you could sense just from the tone of that opening prayer that he was very practical and spiritual. It was published in 1609. In addition, it was for the spiritual lives of the laity, directing the souls to the ways of holiness of life, a companion for our spiritual lives. In fact, this is the first classic that specifically included focus on spirituality for the laity, in addition to priests and religious who at that time were told that to become holy, one needed to enter the monastic life. The laity were in effect considered too busy with their secular lives to pray, and hence those in the monastery would pray for them. That was the prevailing thought before this book came out, The Spirituality. His book foreshadowed the Vatican Council's, one of its greatest gifts was called the Vocation to Holiness that came in Lumen Gentium, one of the greatest gifts of the Vatican Council, that all baptized people together have a vocation, and that vocation to holiness stems from the day of our baptism. So we're all in this together in different ways. Now, I was struggling with this. It's a tough book, by the way. It takes a lot of slow reading. Some of you, I think, are reading it. This is not tips while shaving. And I was struggling through this this summer, and I had this seminarian, Christian, was living next to me. The kid's a real smart fellow. Went to Yale and had all smarts. And I said, you know, I need a pope to help me with this. And he Googled and did everything you do on these little machines. And he found an encyclical by Pope Pius XI. He wrote an encyclical on de Sales. And so once I got the encyclical, I said, I'm off and running. Now I have a pope on my side, and I'm able now to read this book and to talk about it with more authority. And in Pius XI wrote, may it please God that this book, the most perfect of its kind in the opinion of contemporaries of the saint, be read now as it formerly was practically everyone. If this were done, Pope Pius XI said, Christian piety certainly would flourish the world over, and the Church of God would rejoice in the assurance of a widespread attainment of holiness by her children. Rerum omnium perturbationem 16. Now that's authority. I know they he knew this Pope. I've got to get a picture of him. Pius the, what did I say his name was? Pius the 11th. We've got to get a picture of Pius. Pio Duodecesimo. Today's reflection, the first in our series, is meant as a kind of teaser to encourage you to come to the series and hopefully to underscore the importance of having a developed spiritual life. I know many of you are trying and you work in that way in your vocations and circumstances. As laity, the direction or the development of your spiritual lives is very important. And we do this together, helping each other, above all by our individual examples, by being here in such great numbers at this ungodly or godly hour. And our participation in days of recollection during Lent and during Advent. In many other ways, our works of service. Nor can we forget our individual rule of life. We're going to spend a whole section on regula vitae, a rule of life. What should a rule of life look like? Now we'll look at St. Francis. Born of a noble family and professionally trained, yeah, you got it, as a lawyer, he chose the priesthood, you got it, in the face of initial opposition from his father, who had a political career planned for him. As a priest and later the Bishop of Geneva, you know where this is, don't you? Geneva? In Switzerland, exactly. He served in those tumultuous times after the Protestant Reformation in the later 16th and early part of the 17th century. His unique mission was to reconvert the Calvinists who occupied this area who were lost to the Catholic faith. Having volunteered for a difficult mission to win over the Calvinists who lived on the southern shore of Lake Geneva to win back the Chablais, he spent 5 years of his youngly priestly life in what was described as an area of perilous occupation. Armed clashes accompanied differences of belief between Protestants and Catholics. We don't have this today. At least we're not armed clashes, right, Will? One night, Francis was attacked by wolves and escaped by spending the night in a tree. There was at least one attempt to poison him. Several times, he was shot by a lurking assassin. One time, he was attacked and beaten by a hostile crowd. All of you talk about missionaries of hope. We talked about in the gospel. All of this he endured to seek out the lost of the faith. He's credited with bringing upward of 72,000 Calvinists to the Catholic faith. Because Geneva was under Calvinist rule when St. Francis was ordained bishop in 1602, he resided in Annecy, beautiful town in France, since Geneva was closed to him. Francis was a very kind and patient priest and bishop. He was called the Gentle Christ of Geneva. One of his favorite sayings was that more flies are attracted by a spoonful of honey than by a whole barrel of vinegar. His theology, his spirituality is extremely practical. That's the beautiful thing of this. The Calvinists came to see him not as a logician avid for victory over his opponents, but as a father, anxious only for the welfare of the children that he deemed lost. From his many writings, he speaks with a loving simplicity, holiness, and gentleness that comes from his heart. Nowhere does religion wear a more smiling face than his works. He is everyone's saint, extremely practical, blatantly aware of our human needs. The sweetness of the gospel radiates from his writings and from his efforts to win back for the church those Calvinists who had strayed. It's not accidental that he is buried across from St. Jane Frances de Chantal. And you're in that parish, right, kids? So St. Frances de Chantal. De Sales, after all, was her spiritual director. Some of us in the John Carroll Society a number of years ago visited their tombs in Annecy on pilgrimage to Cardinal Laghi. I'll never forget, their tombs are in this church in Annecy, which is right on the Lake Geneva, and they're in the same church side by side. The altar's in the middle, and they're on either side, De Sales and Jane Frances de Chantal. And we saw that. I was very touched by that. De Sales was her spiritual director, and he was a noted spiritual director to many. They were spiritual friends, and with her he founded the Visitation Sisters in 1610. In addition to his writing and spiritual direction, De Sales, even as a bishop of Geneva, continued his work of spiritual directions to many in his day. Can you imagine a bishop giving spiritual direction to lay people when he was a bishop? Well, he did it. Pius XI writes, moreover, times were different then, writes, moreover, the principles of the spiritual life which are treated in the books of De Sales were also turned to the profit of souls by his daily ministry, the spiritual direction which he gave, and by the admirable letters which he wrote. Close quote. That's the Pope saying that. Now look at his book on the introduction of the devout life. At the outset, I wish to focus on his understanding of the word devout, from which comes the word devotion. For to Sales, true devotion presupposes love of God, and hence, in effect, it is simply true love of God, of doing all we do out of love for God. This spirituality has been characterized by the words devout humanism, which means, in his words, some who wish to be angels are not even good at being a good human being. He says, try first at being a good human being. That is why his spirituality is characterized by the practice of ordinary virtues, which make life pleasant and easy for everyone. He writes that charity and devotion differ no more than from one another than does the flame from the fire. Charity is spiritual fire. When it bursts into flames, you got it. It's called devotion. He also states that we should intentionally desire to be devout. It's an intentionality, huh? He adds, don't be ashamed to practice the ordinary necessary actions that bring us to the love of God. For De Sales, moreover, true devotion consists in a constant, resolute, prompt, and active will to do whatever we know is pleasing to God. These are cites from the book, by the way. I'm not going to give you, we'll publish it so you'll have the citations. De Sales' book was the first spiritual guide, as I mentioned, written for laity who's living the spiritual, secular life and is very practical. He had a pastoral passion as bishop and priest for showing the laity the path to holiness and devotion. He had been exposed to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola, so he's building on the Jesuit spirituality. He was a student of the Jesuits, weren't we all, huh? For him, and the beauty of his book, is that true devotion, living a genuine devout life, is uniquely possible for every vocation and profession. In different ways, for sure. The gentleman, the worker, the servant, the prince, the widow, the young person, the married woman. And he writes, surely the least consolation we receive from devotion is in every way preferable to the world's most delightful amusements. Pius XI, in his encyclical Rerum Omnium Perturbationem, writes, moreover, it appears that Francis de Sales was given to the Church of God for a very special mission. His task was to give the lie to a prejudice which in his lifetime was deeply rooted and has not been destroyed even today, that the ideal of genuine sanctity held up for our imitation by the Church is impossible to obtain, or at best is difficult, that it surpasses the capability of the great majorities of the faithful, and therefore to be thought of as an exclusive possession of a few great souls. He said this is a lie. St. Francis disproved the false idea that holiness was so hedged around by annoyances and hardships that it's inadaptable to a life lived outside cloister walls. Archbishop Alfred Hughes, formerly the Archbishop down in New Orleans, in his book Spiritual Masters, highlights that the underlying teaching in Francis' writing was that the way of holiness was open to all, no matter what their role in life. As I mentioned earlier, he heralded the universal call to holiness before it even was pronounced at the Second Vatican Council in the 60s, the role of the laity and living a truly devout life. In our hectic and busy and digital world, a world he didn't know, more than ever, there is a pressing need for an interior life, particularly in our times and our world today, and each one of us without exception. My hope is that during these 8 meditations this year, we can grow together in this appreciation. Hopefully, De Sales and my own prayerful reflection on his work and my own 32 years experience as a priest will assist us all. At the outset of our series on the devout life, I wish to cite an important clue to what the devout life is all about. Francis Sales writes, I've wished above all else to engrave and inscribe on your heart this holy and sacred motto. Those who went to visitation know it. What is it? Live Jesus. Live Jesus. Good for you. Live Jesus. That's the motto. As our beloved Jesus lives in your heart, so too he will live in all your conduct. He will be revealed by your eyes, mouths, hands, yes, even the hair on your head. With St. Paul, you can say these holy words, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. In short, whoever wins a man's heart and has won the whole man, it's De Sales. And it is Jesus himself who wins the hearts of each of us. In so doing, he wins our entire person, enables us to love and be devoted to each other and to be missionary disciples. The Pope said yesterday over at Rome in the garden, missionaries of hope. Yes, true devotion means to share the love within us to those far and wide, not be afraid to do it, to take risks for others and for ourselves. It's a new way of living, and we have guarantee by the Lord that we can do it. This new life is always about putting Jesus first. It's called intentional discipleship, concretely taking up his cross each and every day, that incredible formula for loving till the end. It's about losing our own lives for his sake out of love. In losing our lives, we find him and nurture a new kind of relation, very personal, and a loving relationship with God. How do we do this? Jesus states we must put aside our very selves. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And how much of our daily energy is placed, this is all of us, on just the opposite, enlightened self-interest, self-promotion, at the expense of time for God. That's the devil that we're all dealing with. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. That's the heart of discipleship. Every human action must be measured with that standard in mind. It is, after all, how Jesus lived his life, all out of love for each of us. He asks of us no more. In fact, because he completed his life on a cross and out of love for us, you and I are now empowered to live different kinds of lives, embracing our big and small crosses, putting Jesus always first in the power of his grace and his love. That's the amazing grace won by the death and resurrection of Jesus, a transformation of new and renewing life and in his love. We do not do this alone. In the words of our beloved Holy Father, Pope Francis, and quote, he, Jesus, waits for us. He always waits for us, not to resolve our problems magically, but to make us strong in our problems. Jesus does not remove the burdens of life, but the anguish of heart. He does not take the cross away from us, but he carries it with us. And with him, every burden becomes light, because he is the rest that we seek. When Jesus enters our life, peace comes, that peace that remains even in trials and sufferings. So he says, let us go to Jesus. Let us give him our time. Let us meet him every day in prayer, every day, in a confident and personal dialogue. Let us familiarize ourselves with his word. Let us rediscover his forgiveness without fear. Let us be satiated with his bread of life. We feel loved and consoled by him. Angelus, out in the yard on July 9th, 2017. This new life then, this life in him, is importantly also about welcoming others, of seeing him in others. By receiving or welcoming us into his very life, into his body, the church expects the same of us. In a memorable homily Sunday at St. Matthew's, Archbishop Gomez, the Archbishop of La La Land, gave in the Red Mass homily a very, very beautiful line. It was a beautiful homily. Let us commit ourselves, this is about welcoming, to an America that cares for the young and the elderly, for the poor and the sick, an America where the hungry find bread and the homeless a place to live, an America that welcomes the immigrant and refugee and offers the prisoners a second chance. Close quote. Are we really a welcoming people? Am I a welcoming person? Welcoming others means taking up our daily crosses precisely out of love for others at every moment of our day. This takes place in our workplace, at home, in our schools, on the metro, in our neighborhoods, in our parish. It's a big order. But the Lord is by our side. He is helping us every time we turn to him, every time we put him first. This is the heart of devotion, a devout life, the love of Jesus and our love for him in what we love and do and ask. Instead of isolating ourselves into self-made and self-nurtured men and women, Jesus calls us to be men and women for others. For St. Francis de Sales, Jesus was not only in the monasteries, but in the world, wherever we are and whatever we are doing. It is there we seek and discover the love of Jesus and are challenged to share it. Live Jesus, de Sales reminds us in his book about the devout life. To live Jesus means loving him and experiencing his love for each of us. It is the devout life. My old rector from Rome, Monsignor Charles Murphy, who lives in a little house overlooking the Atlantic Ocean in Maine, who's an expert on Francis de Sales. In fact, his whole, this little cottage where he lives alone, writing theology, praying, the whole side of his wall in French are the letters that De Sales wrote to his spiritual directees. And he's been spending a lifetime working through that. But he reminds us, yet no one who has not had some experience of being loved by God could ever be introduced to the spiritual life. As St. John tells us, reflecting at the end of his life on the experience of knowing Jesus, anyone who fails to love can never have known God, because God is love. Monsignor Murphy continues by concluding, the spiritual life begins for us when we recognize that God's love for us is behind every experience we've ever had of love. Whenever and wherever we know genuine love, we are becoming acquainted with God. Close quote, Charlie Murphy. And that, dear friends, is the devout life. And hopefully this year we'll walk through this, and I'll add stuff, and our good Holy Father has given us a lot. I've written 4.5 talks already, so I'm on a roll, huh? And next talk on All Souls Day, November 2nd, the title is Purifying the Soul, Rooting Out Sin and the Affection for Sin. Dealing with sin right up front was, Ignatius was dealing for the mercy and love of God, and De Sales was dealing specifically with sin right up front. That's what gets in the way of the devout life. So that'll be, and the affection for sin, that's a technical term which I'll describe that he uses. So God bless you all.